Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron. I just said to Marie, there's a break coming up. And she goes, what break? Christmas, Marie.
Oh.
Have you heard of Christmas?
Yes.
You tell us you're a Christian sometimes on the radio, and there's this guy Jesus, and we celebrate his birth.
Amen. Go, Aaron.
And I'm just worried that you've forgotten.
I have not forgotten that. I suppose when Christmas can bring up a whole lot of stress for a lot of people. So when we talk about the word Christmas, probably a dollar sign comes up.
Yeah, shopping stress. That's what I think of. Shopping stress. Yeah.
I think actually, before we move on to what we were. Think we were going to talk about. I was thinking about it the other day. You know, we go from you got Halloween, you got Guy Fawkes, you got something else, and then you got Christmas. I think there's about four things. I might have missed something, but anyway.
End of school. It's a celebration for some. You got prize giving at the area school this Friday.
Wow, it's one thing after another towards the end of the year.
It is. It does.
Absolutely stress loaded.
It's because we've got that northern hemisphere pattern of the Christmas celebration, and it's at the wrong time. It should be in the middle of winter.
Well, when I
so everything's piled up here
with the parents that are Guy Fawkes. That was did I mention?
You mentioned Guy Fawkes. You did.
Okay. Well, you know, when I think about how much money is outlaid in these last couple of months before we hit Christmas. Oh, that was it. New Year's. And then we go into New Year's.
There we go. I forgot about that too.
And then you get into February where all the credit card backup starts.
Credit
coming
card
in.
Bills arrive.
Yeah. So maybe we, talking about this time of the year is probably a good idea, because it is stress loaded, and we do need to have some wisdom on how we move into closing off this year and beginning the next, because we've had 2 years of extreme times.
Well, that was the thing. We're still feeling that.
Mm-hmm.
But shall I introduce you?
Yeah, okay.
Folks, this is Marie, who's a local counsellor therapist, and she's in every fortnight. If you're a regular listener, you've heard Marie before. And we kind of talk about what's on our minds a little bit, what's come up recently. And we've talked about it before, and I've talked about it with Stephanie Philp as well, that there seems to be extra stresses in the community at the moment, which I'm putting down to the hangover from COVID. Unprocessed stuff from COVID, which is just an extra layer of stress on top of all the stuff that was always there anyway.
Yeah.
And as some of it's showing up as, we're talking about difficulty with age group of kids around about age 13 in town,
yep,
that people have been talking about. And kids at that age have always been experimenting with, this is where they start to experiment with a bit of rebellion and things like that. But at the moment it seems heightened. Or people who are getting into arguments with each other about things. That's always happened, but maybe we get into arguments a bit more.
Mm.
Or we get annoyed by people a bit more or angry with people a bit more than we normally do at the moment, because there's that extra load.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think when we've got unresolved issues, like you said, just mentioned before, there's unspoken stresses that we're carrying over. It's a residue of COVID. It's a residue of everything we went through, the grief.
Grief was a word that eventually came up.
Mm.
And you don't necessarily, and it's not just about grieving for a lost individual person, but lost dreams, lost jobs,
absolutely,
lost relationships, all that, anything.
Lost time, whether you were planning a wedding or an engagement or a birthday celebration or a wedding anniversary, whatever it might have been, those great celebrations, those milestones in our life that indicate, who we are, and our friends gather and we celebrate. A lot of those didn't happen.
Yeah.
And we missed those milestones, 21st, wedding anniversaries, whatever it might be, may have been missed. And there's definitely, as you call it, the hangover, the COVID hangover, but there's definitely residue that comes through. We didn't go through 2 years, was it 2 years? 18 months of the world going into overload, and it doesn't just stop when everything comes back online again. There is a residue that comes through with us, whether that be in our families and relationships or, how we are as people, like our ability to have patience can be worn thin over this time. So if you look at it as a scaling question, 1 to 10, where you might have, One being I've got no patience whatsoever, and 10 being I've got massive amounts of patience.
Endless.
You know, you might have started before COVID sitting at around a 6 and a 7, and now you might be, you know, down at a 2 and a 3,
yeah,
because, or a 3 and a 4. It just means that you react a lot more quickly to things, and perhaps don't give yourself space and time to think because you're on edge all the time. Mm. Mm.
And although the regulations have gone back, that side of life has gone back to normal. Like anyone running a business, they've gone from not being able to get enough customers to not being able to get enough staff, and there's supply issues for lots and lots and lots of stuff,
mm-hmm.
Which affects it, just that little bit extra that you can't rely on your routine. Your normal routine during the week to achieve stuff. So
that's interesting.
Just everywhere you look, there's little things that might be impeding your day.
When you talk about normal routine, you know, people, we get into routines and we get into a groove of how something works, and to have something, you know, throw that out of kilter, throw that off balance, means you have to think outside what you normally think, and that takes a lot of energy. Now I have to think of another way to manage this, or how am I going to get through this?
Yeah, but also like it's that old word, is it some culture somewhere, the symbol for crisis and opportunity is the same thing. So oftentimes you're confronted with a problem, and by the time you get out the other side, you've found a new way to do something that's better than the old way. You know, you can be forced to get creative and come up with something good. So, but to start with, it always looks incredibly difficult.
Yeah, and I'm sure enough that the years we've been through have brought adjustments for people, and for some people, it would have brought new ground. They may have had to, let go of the things they used to do, but that's created new space for new thoughts and new ideas and new ventures.
Yeah.
So it can be an exciting time for some, but still there will be stress wrapped around that. And I guess it's about noticing, are we stressed? You know, is this a carryover? You know, the way that I'm reacting or the way that I'm feeling most days, is the stress related from what I've just been through in regards to COVID?
And sometimes we react to someone annoys us, and we're kind of like, well, that's their fault, I'm annoyed. And maybe it is or maybe it isn't, but maybe that's happening more often than it used to.
Yeah, well, that because
more people have been annoying.
Yeah, well,
which is I'm being sarcastic, like.
Well, you know, I think I talked about this last time. We tend to go to the negative far easier than we'll go to the positive. So it's easier to slip into how somebody annoys me and aggravates me, and we almost give ourselves permission now to be angry or frustrated, or, you know, to put our prickles out, you know, get prickly with people. And we almost make them responsibility for our prickliness, which is not, it's not the truth. That's not the truth. Actually, we're responsible for how prickly we are.
Yeah.
Somebody else, you know, sure, we can be affected by situations and what people say to us or what we hear, but how we receive that and how we then outplay that is actually our choice. You know, if we've given ourselves time to choose. If we're under a lot of stress, then we may not be giving ourselves time to choose a positive response or a response that is going to be better for us, because we're going from 0 to 10, wait, or 10 to 0, whatever it is, way too quickly. So you've got to recognize, is my response time healthy? Am I giving myself time to think about how I want to respond to this, or am I just in for the kill, you know? And if you're in for the kill all the time, it's probably a good time to take stock and check in with yourself and just see, you know, am I tense in my body? Am I quite stressed? You know, what's happening for me rather than what's happening for everyone else?
And is that how we want to be for the rest of our lives, reacting to everything? Eventually you might get sick of it.
Well, interesting that you use the word sick, because we will become unwell, yes.
Yeah,
we will get sick of it. Interesting, eh? Because you're right, we'll get sick from it, and we will, because your system cannot handle negativity over and over and over again. It's like a dark cloud on the whole system. It just cannot get strong, which is what we need to do. We need to strengthen ourselves after this time so that, because COVID really was just a testing ground for anything that could happen in our world at any time now.
Well, if we, I guess, if we process it properly, we will come out of it with more resilience.
Well, yeah, it would be healthy for us too.
More skills and all of that sort of stuff.
Isn't that great? Yeah. And yeah, as communities, we would hope that we'd come out with some sort of skill set so that the next time this happens, you know, the ones who may have come up with some great ideas, you know, to support community when COVID hit may rise to the top again. You know, we need to know who these people are, because anything could happen in our world, and we need to be prepared as a group of people who live together as neighbours. We need to be prepared for anything, really. And COVID just gave us a taste of that.
The hardest thing from the community perspective is that we can't talk to each other anymore. Not everyone everywhere, but where people have had really strong feelings about how COVID should be handled, and obviously diverse opinions about how it should be handled.
Mm.
And we all know of situations where people aren't really talking anymore, and how it's like a community-wide healing needs to happen, but that also has to happen at an individual level. And it's kind of like, the danger is, for instance, if I look at it from my perspective, I sit here and I say, well, I hope all those other people get themselves sorted out so we can get our sense of community back, right? That's the danger, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And even your hand, like, if you can see, you know, that you guys Aaron's hand is pushing outwards.
Yeah, yeah, I was emphasising.
Yeah, our body is a roadmap, actually. It's interesting how our hands will indicate actually what we're thinking. So you can watch our hands sometimes, it's like a roadmap to our thinking. And so that it's an expression of to push away, you know. And so, yeah.
And I can't really offer what you can offer, but I do know there's times when there's been people I'm seeing them and I'm going to interact with them, and I'm like, I don't know how this is going to go. But then they be friendly, and I'm relieved, and it's great. And so maybe I should have tried that, right? Maybe I should have tried being friendly instead of wary.
There
I don't know.
There we go.
But what
yeah,
can you?
Good. Great.
But you're the counsellor, like that.
Well,
right.
You just can't. Anyone can be a counsellor to themselves, Aaron. It's just having the tools to know what it is you want to work on in yourself, and having the tenacity and the strength to actually want to look inward and go, okay, so what is it about me that people tell me often? So it might be like, well, you never listen, or you're not listening, or you don't listen. You know, you might hear that often from different people. So at some point it'd be really healthy if you maybe checked in with yourself and actually asked yourself, am I really listening? Like, am I stopping long enough to let the person have their say, and even leave a gap, a space, before I give something back, you know?
There's also, maybe this is something you can tell us about too, like that situation I described where someone just decided to be friendly in a moment, and it and the potential stress between the people evaporated. Mm. And that's like an act of grace. Like, you can tell us about that, eh? Because, I mean, and that, as far as I know, the concept of grace we get from the Bible.
Mm.
And
yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about tell us a little bit about that? Like,
how wonderful. Because as you're saying it, you know, there's a sense of peace that comes with that. And when we're so prickly, as I'll put it, look like a porcupine, where our prickles are like, out there, don't touch me, don't come near me. That's what we like. When that is alleviated and our prickles are down, I mean, oh my gosh, how amazing is that? It means that we are now able to connect with another person and feel their warmth and feel their laughter and their joy, or their just being in their presence with them, rather than feeling that. So to have grace, to have forgiveness, to have, you know, it comes from us individually. That's something that we give out from, not something that I have an expectation that I'm going to get it from you. That actually I'm going to live that out in myself, And so to love your enemies, or to have grace, to have forgiveness for someone else, that's actually really massive, Aaron, because I've had to do that massively in my life.
Yeah. Who's the forgiveness for?
Well, I think, you know, you have to – that's a really good question, because forgiveness can be a hard edge as well, because we have to forgive ourselves. Often we need to forgive ourselves for even being in the situation we were in, for saying the things we said, for reacting the way we did. You know, forgiveness comes, you know, having some grace over yourself too, knowing that, hey, I make mistakes. That's a good place to start, because forgiving ourselves for our part – also allows space for the person in their part. It's because there's always two parts, and that can be a really hard concept, because people say, well, you know, I got abused and this happened. We have our part to play in that as well, you know, and what we do in regards to, and I'm talking about adults here, not children, staying in situations and not choosing to do something different, or not choosing to look at something in a different way where I might be able to strengthen myself, so I'm not actually in this situation anymore. You know, we have to forgive ourselves for not doing the things we knew we should have done.
What about someone's done something to us and we forgive them, and that is that all for their benefit?
No, forgiveness is all about releasing. You know, when we hold something, it's like what we held, or what we hold over COVID, the stresses we hold, or when a relationship goes bad and the stresses, you know, we hold. And that sits in our body. It's unresolved issues. And it's like toxins in our system.
Yeah.
And so if we don't know how to work through that and express it, it will stay within us. And as we say, we get triggered. But we just use language like we say, oh, we get triggered. But I encourage you to ask the question, what am I triggered about? You know, what's triggering me? What does this even mean to get triggered? And you know, that suggests a gun that's loaded. You know, I get triggered and off I go. It's, you got to look at our language and how we are saying things, because that can be almost a setup. I can see you getting triggered. You know, if somebody is talking to you like that, it's offensive. Like, that's not helpful.
Yeah.
What you could say is, I can see this is really stressful for you, or shall we take a break from this for a while and have a cup of tea, or, you know, like pull back and stop pressing in on something that you know is causing another person great discomfort. Yeah. Well,
what about the idea that we need to hold people to account for the things they've done?
Well, if I lived that life, I'd probably still be running around trying to find all the people that I'd want to hold account.
I'd have to hunt them down.
Yeah. Ooh, that'd be pretty full on. In my own life, I did a lot of work around this idea of forgiveness, and it took me a long time to understand what it meant. And forgiveness actually released me from holding on to something that was poisoning my system.
Yeah.
And it didn't mean that the people or person or whatever got away with it. Because I do have a faith, I do believe that, you know, at some point there is accountability, even if it's not in our system, in our earthly system. I do believe there is accountability for the things we do. So we don't get away scot-free, even though we may believe, and that's my belief system, that there will be a accountability to the unseen things in this world that happen. Mm.
I mean, I think there isn't a way anyway, because if we do something, if we transgress, it does affect who we are and the sort of person we are, and we do have to live with it, even if we think
that we
got away scot-free. It does change us.
Well, because if you've done something to hurt another person, you're already on the track of the resisting, you know, of the development of yourself. You're already... Not in a healthy place. It's already going to start there. For a person to stop the sliding scale of slipping down that slope of getting worse and worse, It's going to take a lot to for them to go, actually, this is about me. This is how I actually caused this to happen. I am the instigator in this. I knew what I was doing, you know.
Have you worked with people who have gone through that? Like, didn't you work with groups of men?
Yeah, at HAPE.
Yeah, what's HAPE?
Hamilton Abuse Prevention Program.
Yeah, so these might be people who've really transgressed.
Yeah.
And it's a hell of a thing to confront that. But have you seen guys who've done that?
Yeah. Everyone has a story, Aaron, and I think for me doing that type of work, because of where I'd come from and the things I'd seen, I know everyone has a backstory.
Yeah.
People aren't vicious or cruel or nasty unless there's something mentally wrong, right? I'm talking just normal people. We aren't just created that way. We're not born that way. It's our environment, things that we experience as we're growing up. I mean, I know for me in a violent situation, a relationship that I was in, I know that my partner had been extremely abused as a young person.
Yeah.
Taken from his family and treated very badly. He's a product of that. I was getting the brunt end of that, of him not being able to deal with his own stresses in life.
The continuation of the cycle.
Absolutely, and he probably had no idea. He had no idea that his upbringing was an indicator of why he was the way he was.
You probably weren't thinking quite like that at the time.
No, I wouldn't have had a clue.
Yeah.
Like what I do now.
Yeah.
I can see a bigger picture. Back then, I could just see a spot, you know, in the picture.
Yeah. I mean, does that bigger picture help with forgiving?
Now, I absolutely, understand. Yeah, it does.
Because how do you forgive? Like people might be thinking... People might have the idea, that it could be really peaceful for me to not be carrying this around.
Mm.
But how do you, if someone's done you wrong, and quite seriously, what is that process?
Well, I think it's different for everybody, Aaron. And you know, I have my own process of what I did. And I think that's, you know, we use the word rituals, and I don't know what that brings up for people, but we can do things... That can, you know, we can open groups and we can close groups with a prayer or something that we do.
Yeah.
And it's the same with a situation. We can close a situation by doing an act of something that will close that off. You know, and I don't have to. And I did that. I went through a process of closing a situation off in my life, which doesn't mean that I don't ever, it's gone away. I just don't get the around it now. I can think about it. I can actually hold that in my mind, and I'm not traumatized by my experience.
You're not getting like a physical feeling that comes with it?
No, not anymore. Not anymore.
Yeah.
Now what I get with it is my hope that I can educate people enough so that they don't do that, or they don't put people in those situations, or want to cause such grief onto a person's life.
Have you seen him since?
No.
Back in the day?
No.
Never?
No.
Yeah. What would how would that be if that happened? Presumably, well, there's probably no need to, I know, but...
So I'm not sure what you're talking about, so...
I guess I'm testing just how... How in a good place you are.
Okay,
it's
so
probably, it's probably
more
a little unfair, really.
Well, it's not really. For me to lay my life out, I think a lot of people would not even think that I would survive what my life has been.
Yeah, we've talked
it's
about...
It's quite a full-on like story.
Previous interviews, yeah.
Look at it and think, bleh.
Your young years were something else. Yeah, for sure.
It was something else. They definitely were. So there's lots of places that I can land on where I can think about, you know, how to... Forgiveness was massive for me. But, yeah, I now would... I would use the things that I have been through as it, it increases my empathy, it increases my insight into personalities and people and situations that that can change us in a moment. I'm more interested in, yes, okay, so we may have, hurting people hurt people, we may have done bad things, but how do we develop from here? How do we take what we've been through, heal, and then be all that we were created to be? Like, pick up and keep moving and developing yourself and enjoying that. Yeah. So that the very things that have meant to wipe you out in life are really catalysts for pushing you forward in life, instead of taking you out. So my hope and my desire is always that we can come to a place of forgiveness, because without forgiveness, we can't move on. We will be stuck in trauma. We will be stuck in wanting to make somebody pay for what they've done. We want them, How many stories do you read on the news or hear on the news or read in the paper about, where there's been a horrendous murder and the person who's, the murder victim's family has forgiven the murderer, and you're sitting there wondering, how could they do that? What is wrong with these people?
But as a counselor,
did you not care? That's what that's what we come to. But actually, that's massive. And we could learn from that, because I tell you, if they can forgive something so publicly seen, it's a teaching for us. Why would they want to forgive that person? There's something behind that, because it releases you from the toxic poisons that come from re-traumatizing yourself by thinking over and over the situation, because that's what happens when you haven't forgiven, letting something go. Where it no longer, the best power we can give ourselves is to let something go, so it no longer intimidates us or is toxic to us in our thinking and in our body. How awesome is that? That from a victim, you can come victorious through your life. That's all about forgiveness and moving into who you are.
So something I want to talk about too is the possibility that people are feeling like, I have to go and forgive this person. And like in a counselling situation, I presume someone comes in and talks about something that's happened to them and someone's done something to them, and you don't turn around and say, okay, you need to forgive that person right away so that you can get that off your back. Like, that's not how you do right? You can't, force it.
No.
What do you got to do first?
Well, I mean, the person's got to want to, For me, I look at forgiveness can be look a lot like the process of grief, because we grieve through that. So you may never be able to go to the person and even say anything to them. It might be right out of your ability to do that. So write it down. Write a letter. Get it out. Everything you wanted to say, everything. No full stops. This is not a spell right?
You say when you get it out, like
You wanted to say.
Put the anger out.
You can go from anger to love, back to anger, to forgiveness. You go all over the place. There is no structure to this letter. You just keep writing until you've got nothing left, until you're done. And you'll know when you're done, and then you burn the letter. It's about, this is a way to release this because it has to come out.
Do you send them the letter?
No.
Okay, just checking.
This is for you. This is for you to be able to find an avenue out to get that energy out and the words and the language out that are stuck in you, because that's what we're stuck on. We haven't been able to speak out our truth or to speak out our pain or to speak out what has happened. And so you're left with it sitting in you all the time. And people, you could hear a word, right, and that could trigger you because you could be disgusted by that word and it'll cause a physical reaction. And there you are back in your, and you have to carry that. Not the person who's done you harm. They're walking around fine. And probably not carrying anything. Some of them might be carrying some guilt.
Well, we talked before about, it changes who they are, but they might be...
Yeah, but it'll take a long time for them to even feel that if they are responding to people like this, okay?
You talk about not sending the letter, but I do know counsellors who've advised people who've been abused to send letters
to
the abuser, but they're very clear. Don't expect something to happen in return from them. Like, don't be expecting an acknowledgement or any kind of reaction. That's not the purpose. Maybe it's a statement of a new place of strength for the person.
I guess so. But you know, that too, sending it to the person will play on your mind in regards to, I wonder how they reacted. I wonder what, you know, what they thought when they read it.
Which is why, as far as I understand, it's couched very carefully, and that you're not.
Yeah, because you could be stuck there then.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I wonder, and next time you see them, you know, like, I know you read my letter, like, you know, there'll be something still sitting there for you. So even that can be unresolved. Like, what was their reaction, and why haven't I heard from them? Even though you expect to not hear from them, obviously, but then you, in the back of your mind, you'll be thinking, you know, there's still that there. So yeah. Forgiveness comes from you. This is about getting distance from you and that feeling like it's not controlling your life anymore. When you can feel that, you're actually free. You've been set free from it. And I can honestly say I was set free from the trauma that I experienced. And that's a wonderful. I never thought I would be. It carried through with me for years and years in my health and my living, my doing life. Everything was, the core of it was coming from a place of trauma. You know, so how I viewed the world, how I viewed people, everything. Even if you were nice to me, I would have thought, why? Why are you being nice to me? What do you want? What do you need? You know, something behind that. Wouldn't have trusted you at all. So everything was dulled and desensitized in regards to experiencing the joy of life. You know, I was not able to enter in on other people's goodness because I just felt badness all around me. You know, and that's how I live my life, and what came into my life was bad. I'm so thankful that for, you know, even now, I'm thankful for my experiences because they have gotten me to where I am today. So there's a purpose for that. There's a reason for it. I'm not here for no reason, you know, and so we've got to use that to help others. We don't want to sit back and go, well, that was all for me, and thankfully I'm free.
Yep.
Yeah, I want to see other people free because there's nothing worse than being trapped in, you know, being in prison in your own mind, being in prison in your own body. That's a cruel way to live, you know. We're not in prison. We are free. We have ample opportunity in front of us, and it's a great place to be alive and be a part of this world that we live in. But if our world is clouded by our trauma, we'll never see that. We'll never experience it.
So it's easy to see that from the other side.
Hmm.
What's the motivation when you're about to start out? Why would you start out? I guess you've explained why, but why did you know what was on the other side?
No, I didn't know what was on the other side. I guess for me it was falling in love, you know, with having PJ.
Yeah.
You know, and realising that I couldn't love. You know, I knew I could feel the feeling, but I wasn't doing very well in this at all. Like, everything was causing me great pain and a lot of grief. So that even the feeling of love was painful for me. Wasn't it? I liked the feeling, but it didn't last long enough. It would be,
yeah.
You know, all my insecurities would pop up. You know, that's massive when you've got massive insecurities about, you know, just insecurities about everything. Who's he looking at? What's he doing? Am I good enough? You know, am I doing all the right things? Yeah, you know, it's just a terrible way to live. A lot of energy trying to please and tick the boxes for everyone else and ticking none of your own because you're just too hurt to let anyone in. So falling in love was a good one. I kind of had to do something. I was like, there it was.
Do you do it for the other person as much as anything? Or is that
at the same time as I fell in love, I also came into my faith. So there was a lot happening for me into my Christian walk. There was a lot, my heart area was being opened up massively.
So it was a big time of evolution.
Yeah,
it's a somewhat ironical word to use, but
yeah, pretty much.
But yeah.
Somebody had ripped the plaster off my heart, and I was exposed. And it was a very disturbing time because I didn't want to feel, and everything around me was making me feel. Well, not making me, but it was like, well, what could I do? It was happening everywhere because I was responding to these places of goodness that I had never kind of allowed myself to respond to before. So it's a journey. The people around you that you have in your life are really important in how you do that journey too.
You can't do it by yourself.
I couldn't have done it by myself. There's no way I could have done it by myself. There's no way I could have done it without God. I can't get away from that, Aaron. That's my go-to. You know, if I look at the Te Whare Tapawhā, and I talked about this last time, Te Whare Tapawhā model, and we have a spiritual wall. We can't get away from that, you know. That, to me, is my Christianity, and it's strong and it's massive. If I look at my whare, that's part of my wall. So if I'm not taking any notice of that, that's a really healthy thing to take notice of, because I found a lot of healing in that place that I could not have got from anywhere else.
There's I sent you a link a while ago on Messenger, but I might have sent it to the wrong. I've got two.
Oh, yeah, I've got a few.
For you.
Sorry.
There's research now that because they're researching the brain so much now, they've found the part of the brain that does respond to spiritual issues.
Mm.
So and they're not saying any particular faith or anything or even a faith, but there is a part of the brain that is wired for spirituality, I guess. It's been a while since I heard this, so. But
you'll have to send me that link.
But it's a thing that's in there.
And so imagine, I think, what if that was fired off over and above what we've been through? Because my biggest strength has come from my spirituality, my faith. My biggest strength has come from the unseen, from the very thing we can't see. Like, you know, we can't see the wind, but we see it. We see the impact of the wind.
Yeah, we live in a very faithless culture.
Yeah, we do.
And like
what's missing.
I wouldn't advocate having faith in anything in particular, but we can't understand everything about the world. We can't pin down all the details. Science just keeps expanding. You have to have some kind of faith somewhere.
Yeah.
Even to get up in the morning, you have to have faith that the day's going to maybe go okay. Like, that's a real basic, simple thing.
You know that the root word of faith is trust. In there, I think it's the Greek
faith
is trust, and that's quite massive. So to have faith, you've got to trust. And sometimes, you know, that can be a really difficult thing to do when you've got no trust or you trust little. You know, that's a lot to have faith to, you know, people say, oh, Christianity, it's a crutch, you know, or you know, having a faith is a, you know, there's something wrong with you. I'm like, wow, you just have no idea what you're missing out on.
Well, I mean, according to the neuroscientists, it's a key component of who we are. It's like saying having a leg is a crutch.
Yeah.
Which certainly, it does
make... Well, you thank goodness for the crutch.
That's what I mean. Two legs, it's easier to stand up with two legs than one.
You know, sometimes you need a crutch too. Yeah. Like, I mean, thank goodness for the crutch. Because there's obviously something wrong if we're needing to be supported. And thank goodness for the support.
Well, that's that kind of man alone attitude.
I can do this.
I don't need help.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ugh, ugh.
What was that?
Caveman days, you know, a bit cold in there.
But primitive people didn't live as individuals. They were way more aware that they were dependent on each other as a tribe.
Absolutely.
It was very much right in their faces the whole time. Like,
And, you know, if we want to kind of round this off, I guess, looking at our own community, we are a tribe here. We are a misfitted tribe of different people, different cultures and thoughts and backgrounds and belief systems. You know, and that's okay. That's okay. It's more so is how we relate to each other. Do we want the best for each other? Can we be different and still encourage each other to be the best of version of who we are? Isn't that the greatest thing we can do? Why would we want everyone to be the same? Why would I want someone to talk the same as me and make the same mistakes as me or how boring, you know? I don't want that.
We're a very diverse community.
And that's fantastic.
And we do squabble. It's always all right. It's always been that way. But we're a bit more divided at the moment. And that's, I don't like it. I sit here talking about the community all the time and thinking about it, and I don't like seeing the division that arose over the last few years, and hopefully we learn from it, I guess.
Division isn't good. Yeah. That's not, you know, there is nothing wrong with people, you know, having discussions, heated discussions, or getting, you know, their point of view across. It's okay. We don't have to react to a person's point of view, and if we are, you know, we probably a good question, why am I reacting to this? Am I reacting to the person? Is it something about the person I don't like? Because we don't have to react. We can allow a person to have their space and say, and then leave space and then have our say. And, you know, why do we have to react to everything? It's more about what's going on in us, why we are reacting. You know, what's it bringing up for me that I have to prove something here? Because, you know, even in my, you know, like in my faith, Aaron, I've come to a place like it doesn't bother me anymore how people feel about God or Christianity or the church or the things they have to say.
You don't have to prove anything to them.
I don't have to prove it. It's okay. You're allowed to have your opinions. All I know is my own life and how things have supported me and how I've grown in my life. And if I look at the Te Whare Tapa Whā model, it is a perfect example of our house and our whare. Take a look at it, and how are your walls going? What are the four walls, remind us? So I'm not going to say it in Māori because I don't have it in front of me. So you've got your, well, I'll say some of it. So actually the four walls plus your foundations, which is your tūranga waiwai, your place of standing.
Your land.
Yep, the land, but your ancestors, everything. Where is your place of standing? It can be a massive one. Then you've got your physical wall.
Physical health, is that?
And what does that mean for you? You've got your spiritual.
Yeah.
Then you've got your mental and emotional, they're both together.
Yeah.
And then you've got your whānau, family wall. Okay. Yeah.
That's good. I'm glad I didn't have to list those because
I believe in this. I think it's pretty good too,
but I haven't memorised it.
Well, so. It's in all schools. I just don't think we've actually overlaid this and realised that this is us. This is our whare. It's not a house out there, our community house. This is our whare.
I'd say it's in schools, but schools are not in it.
Mm, exactly.
At this stage, and that may change.
Yeah, and we need to. I reckon it would be a lot healthier if we were talking. It's a New Zealand model. It's for our culture,
yeah,
and it really does bring us to some healthy places of looking at ourselves and going, wow, this is something I can actually work on. I can pick up my physical wall. I know what I need to do to make this stronger, all my spiritual, all my whānau, that's my encouragement.
Hey, folks, we've been talking to Marie Harworth, local counsellor therapist, as we do every second Wednesday, and hope you enjoyed that. Good to talk to you, Marie.
Thank you.
We'll see you again in a couple of weeks.
You will.
All right, folks, end of the show for the day. I'll be back, of course, tomorrow morning. I think I'm interviewing the mayor tomorrow. Find out a little bit about she got her feet under the desk, how that's all going. See you then.